Live from ClickOrlando.com, this is News 6 at... This is a News 6 Plus Takeover. Here now is Matt Austin and Ginger Gadsden with Florida's 4th Estate. Sponsored by Light Orlando, delivering hope together.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Florida's 4th Estate. Today, we found ourselves in a very precarious position where many of us had to dust off our Bibles to talk about.
Ginger, you shouldn't be dusting off your Bible. That means you haven't read it in a while.
Or I memorized it early on. I'm Ginger Gadsden.
I'm Matt Austin, and we're so glad to have you with us for another edition of Florida's 4th Estate. This one's going to be interesting because on the news we started noticing that some biblical diseases started making a comeback in the state of Florida. Leprosy, malaria. These are two things I never thought we would be talking about again on the news. And Ginger, they've made a comeback all of a sudden.
You know, when I heard leprosy, at first I thought, are they mistaken? Are they trying to say something else? And they just mistakenly said leprosy.
I don't know.
But it just made you, it made everyone pause. But the good news is, I don't think we really have to be in a state of panic about it all. At least that's what we're hoping to find out anyway.
That's right. And we have the perfect person to help us guide us through this whole situation. We have Dr. Elizabeth Barrero, infectious disease physician. She's with Health First. She's one of the leaders over there. And we thought she'd be the perfect person to talk to. Dr. Barrero, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Okay, so we're all hearing about this. We're going to start with leprosy. A sentence I never thought I'd say. This time we're going to start with leprosy. So tell us what we're seeing. I mean, I know it's not very common right now, and we're not trying to freak people out. We just, on our show, we like to, when people start hearing things on the news, we like to figure out, you know, what the deal is. Should we actually be worried about this? So just kind of tell us about the origins of leprosy in Florida all of a sudden.
So leprosy is a disease, as you know, you just mentioned, it's an old disease, biblical disease. It's never been able to be eradicated. The source of new cases that we're seeing are probably patients or people, individuals who are traveling out of the country into areas that leprosy is endemic. And I'm just going to make mention a few countries like Nepal and India. Brazil is commonly known to carry leprosy endemically. Malaysia. So those are countries that when individuals go travel, they bring it back with them sometimes, and they don't even know they're exposed. Leprosy has been found to be naturally in a vector, we call them vectors or carriers, in the ninth band armadillo. So the armadillo, if everybody doesn't know, is kind of endemic in southern states. It's seen in Texas, it's seen in Louisiana, it's seen in South California, it's seen in Georgia, and now obviously in the state of Florida. So they are natural carriers of the disease without being affected by it. And individuals who come into contact with these organisms via contaminated tissues of the armadillo actually are exposed to it. And those are the concerns that we have. The actual organism that causes leprosy, which is a Mycobacterium leprae organism, is found in soil too. So there's really a diverse distribution of this worldwide, but you know, we kind of see it in these places across the world.
Oh, and it caught our attention because we're starting to see, you know, there are fewer than maybe 100 or so cases worldwide, but we've had some here in Florida. So that's what caught our attention. If it is detected, it is very treatable, but the problem I've read is it can be in you for a long time and you don't know you have it. Is that true?
Correct. Symptoms take a long time to develop after exposure.
About once every 2 weeks when I'm running around my neighborhood, I see a dead armadillo being scavenged by vultures. And I'm going to be giving them a much wider berth now when it comes to my daily runs. So, okay, Doc, let's talk about what you see when you... So is it like old school Bible leprosy if somebody gets it? I mean, like deformities and all of that? Or is it sort of a watered down version thousands of years later?
I think as people have better, you know, medical care and attention and access to care, they're more likely to not reach that stage that you recall in the Bible times, right, with the big lumps and deformities that we see. Nowadays, they're more apt to seek medical attention. So things to look out for are rashes that do not heal on your face, on your trunk, and your lower extremities. Lymph nodes that do not go away over a period of time and continue to grow. Lymph nodes could be found anywhere on the neck, the groin, the axilla. And in particular, pay attention to areas that are open wounds that have loss of sensation or changes in sensation. We call them paresthesia. Those are areas that you must bring to your to medical attention or your healthcare provider as soon as possible.
The question I have is, one of the things you said early on, it's been around for so long. Why haven't we been able to eradicate it?
I think because in the medical community, there's no clear linkage. And because of that, it's very hard to identify and control it. We have great medications for treatment, but once we've identified it, right? But it's very difficult to know where it we know it resides in this, in the dirt, in soil, and in these armadillos. But apart from that, there's very little understood about it. It's a long disease, even for developing symptoms. And even the treatment portion is many months to become clear from it.
Treatment is 6 months to a year. Is that right? And most people may not even stick with that.
Correct. Yeah, it's a very difficult treatment. I mean, there is great treatment out there. It usually consists of 2 to 4 antimicrobacterial agents. But the treatment really involves 6 to 12 to even 18 months, depending on where the organ or the tissue that's affected. And it requires strict scrutiny and monitoring by an infectious disease professional and expert, because it's a complicated treatment and it requires a lot of monitoring because of drug-drug interactions and side effect profile.
Yeah, sounds complex. So like back in the day, if someone had leprosy, they were shunned from the village. They had to stay away from everybody so nobody else caught it. So once you get it from an armadillo or the soil or wherever, can that person then transmit it to another person? How does that work?
So it's thought that that was the issue, but it's not true. You know, I think that's a myth that it's highly contagious. I think back in the day, you still wanted to quarantine people because there was so little understood about the disease. But I think nowadays, as long as the person doesn't have prolonged contact with another individual, you're okay. You're not going to acquire it from touching someone immediately that has leprosy. We still recommend using protection because we don't understand that much about it. So we still recommend that if you do come in contact with a person who has active leprosy or is being treated with it, you know, just keep your distance. That's the only thing. But it's not that contagious, really.
Don't you feel the lepers were in a leper colony back in biblical times because they just weren't good to look at? It made people feel uncomfortable, yep. I think, and they just kind of shunned them. It's like, you're better if no one sees you.
I agree with you. I think it was more an aesthetic issue than anything else. And, you know, for many years, I come from Louisiana, LSU, and there is actually a leprosy colony there from 30 years ago. So there's a major research center there. So I agree. It's mostly aesthetic. It's just not pleasant. But people should not be scared of that because there's plenty of diseases that cause, you know, deformities. It doesn't have to be this one. And they're not contagious. You know, fungal skin diseases are one of them that can cause the same presentation and easily treatable. So I think it shouldn't be as a scary thing to you know, be afraid of. I think it's more aesthetic. Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. But people shouldn't be feeling shunned because of it.
Aside from if I'm an armadillo tamer, at the zoo or if I'm like scraping them up off the ground for roadkill. Everybody doesn't really have to walk around worrying about this right now, right, Doc?
No, not at all. It's still very rare in terms of, you know, a condition that we see pop up. Yes, we see several cases, you know, in the last decade, you're seeing a lot of increase, but overall, it's still considered a rare disease.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt has made some bad, some poor choices if he's scraping an armadillo off the side of a road.
It could happen. Hey, it still could happen to me. You never know. From a disease that you probably don't have to worry so much about to one that could be lethal if you get it. We're going to stick with Dr. Elizabeth Barrera, who's going to tell us about malaria kind of creeping back into Florida. See you right after the break.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us and sticking around for the second part of this edition of Florida's Fourth Estate, everyone, because we're talking about something that's really kind of a big deal here in Florida. And it got our attention because we are constantly being bombarded by mosquitoes, and it is one of the ways in which we get malaria. Dr. Elizabeth Barrera has been kind enough to stick around with us. We talked about leprosy on the other side of the break, but now we're talking about, I know it's a fun, filled Florida Fourth Estate.
Right.
So now we're talking about malaria. I was looking at the symptoms, and it just seems like almost any other disease that makes you feel bad. Talk a little bit about how we know we have something going on, because they talk about fever, vomiting, nausea. How do we know it's malaria?
You can have fever, night sweats, nausea, vomiting, headaches. It's just a very generalized kind of symptomatology. And the majority of patients that come in with malaria to the hospital system is because they have high fever. Anything like neck pain, confusion, fevers greater than 103 leads them to seek medical attention right away, which is a good thing because there is a specific type of malaria, which we call Plasmodium falciparum, which can be life-threatening. So medical attention immediately needs to be sought.
So how many people are we talking here, Doc, in the state of Florida? Because I heard Florida, there aren't like a ton of cases, but the majority of the cases in America are happening in Florida, it seems.
So you're absolutely right. I think Ginger mentioned it best in her intake, where it has to do with the mosquitoes, right? Because we have locally acquired malaria because of the mosquitoes where they reside. And they are the number one transmitters of malaria. And many times it could be also people who travel to foreign countries and bring back malaria. So South America is commonly known, Africa, Asia. Malaria is basically a worldwide disease. There has been many efforts amongst the World Health Organization to kind of control it. But they even came up with a vaccine that was approved, earlier this year, I'm probably getting ahead of myself. But it has to do a lot with where the vector is. And if the vector is localized to areas of high incidence of where mosquito burden is, that's where you're going to start to see trends in increasing in cases.
Okay, I had read something about a vaccine. I was going to ask you how effective that is, but I would imagine since it has not been available that long, we may not know the answer to that yet.
Right. Right now, they just approve it for certain countries in Africa. Like I think the governor in Ghana has approved it, and they bought it from GlaxoSmithKline, and they rolled it out probably early summer. So there's not a lot of data or information concerning its effectivity in terms of actual usage presently. It's not readily available yet in the U.S. So right now, we do recommend that if you are traveling to one of these foreign countries that malaria is endemic, you seek the assistance of a travel medicine specialist or an infectious disease specialist. They will tend to give you chemoprophylaxis before you go traveling, so you won't come back with these symptoms, with the symptoms of malaria, or bring back malaria itself.
So are we thinking that the majority of the cases are people who went to another country, caught malaria,
correct,
came back, and then we treated them with malaria? Or there could be mosquitoes in the state of Florida flying around with malaria. Is that even a possibility?
So I would say both, but the more common denominator here is people traveling, international travelers bringing back malaria.
The thing is, we all love to travel. Matt and I both are big travelers, and I particularly love it. And it seems as if lately we've been seeing these diseases, because I think I read we had eradicated malaria in the 1950s, but yet here it is again. And the same thing with leprosy. We had not heard about leprosy in almost centuries, it seems like.
I think that, and it's also related to changes in the atmosphere, right? We've had a more than rainy season these last 6 months in Florida. The breeding ground for mosquitoes is just optimal. You know, I think that has contributed a bit to these cases that you're starting to see in the news, increasing in malaria. But it's still travelers. It's still considered a traveler's disease.
Yeah. I want to ask you, since we're on the topic of mosquito-borne illness, one thing we talked about a ton on the news for a while was Zika. Ginger and I have talked about this a lot off camera. Like, whatever happened to Zika? You know, I had to ask about it. Because if you had a pregnant wife or whatever, at that time, everybody was like, oh my gosh, my baby's going to be born with this deformity. And it just seemed to leave the news. So what happened to Zika, Doc?
I think as the Florida State Health Department and other departments of health throughout the country became more aware, and they collaborated with counties in terms of mosquito eradication mitigation programs with aerial and ground spraying. They've been so diligent about eliminating any pockets that they can find that that kind of put that in the back burner. So the particular mosquito that transmitted, we haven't seen it around anymore. Now, it takes a lot, right? It takes a lot of coordination from the health departments and the counties to really continuously mitigate and continuous their spraying. Insecticides and spraying is the only thing to prevent the vector from coming back. So I think they did a really good job when Zika came out, and they're doing a really good job now to keep it at bay.
So on a scale of one to nuclear, with nuclear obviously being the worst, how worried should we be about malaria? Because we talked about leprosy, probably something we shouldn't be terribly worried about. But we live in Florida and mosquitoes are everywhere and it's moist and it's warm all the time.
There are certain circumstances where you should be a little bit, a heightened awareness, I should say, because if you do have high fevers and you do have significant amount of mosquito bites and you do meet all the criteria in terms of symptoms, right? Seek medical attention right away. Don't take that upon yourself to stay home and take two Tylenols or Advils. If you check all the boxes, like I say, if you are in a place that is endemic, if there have been cases that reported, if you do have a travel history of visiting these places where malaria is endemic, and you do reside next to lakes or where mosquitoes are a common ground, and you do develop symptoms, seek medical attention right away.
You said there's one particular strain of malaria that can be deadly. Have they found that strain in the state of Florida?
Sadly to say, they have. So they have had cases of that particular strain in Florida.
Where have they found that strain in Florida? Do you remember? Do you recall? Because I know people will ask.
South Florida, Palm Beach County, most commonly, historically, right? Not the strains that they found now, not really in the last few months, but historically in the past in that region.
Thank you so much for taking the time to explain some complicated stuff to us and really tell us, watch out for it, but there's nothing to keep us up at night. So that was nice of you.
Feel a little better. Yes.
Yeah, I feel much better. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching Florida's Fourth Estate. You can download it from wherever you listen to podcasts or watch anytime on News 6+.